Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Forty-5,000 years ago, on our first visit to your world, we met a small group of nomadic hunters. They had no spoken language, no culture except the use of fire and stone weapons. But they did have a respect for the land and for other living creatures that impressed us deeply. We decided to give them an inheritance, a genetic bonding, so they might thrive and protect your world. On subsequent visits, we found that our genetic gift brought about a spirit of curiosity and adventure. It impelled them to migrate away from the cold climate to a new, unpeopled land. It took them almost 1,000 generations to cross your planet. Hundreds of thousands of them flourished in their new land. Their civilization had a profound influence on others of your species. But then, new people came with weapons and disease.
I just don't know how you guys can lose your focus so quickly. I mean,
I thought we were just warming up.
It's because we's morons.
That's all. This is incredible.
We's big old morons. Don't worry, we are going to do a great job on the podcast.
It's not about during the podcast.
All right, does that mean you want to start the podcast right now, Dan?
I'm fine. No. I'm not mad. I'm more just impressed. That's all.
Okay. All right. Let's start the podcast. We'll start the podcast where Dan has explained that he's impressed with the degree to which... Is it the degree to which...
He's not mad. He's just impressed.
Is it the degree to which Jesse and I have been...
You are
been
distracted.
...repeatedly distracted? Or is it how quickly we're distracted?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because it's the, you know, the depth versus breadth sort of thing.
Well, it happens easily. So I guess that would be a quantity. You are easily
a
distracted.
Time quantity?
You're easily distracted. So it would be like...
So for those in the audience who are just joining us, Jesse and I and Dan, all three of us have been attempting to begin the podcast.
Who are those people?
Jesse and I, through no fault of our own, have...
Of course not.
We're in a bit of a goofy mood this evening. We do not know
why. There's just no controlling ourselves.
And Dan... Taskmaster that he is.
No, there's a lot of serious
there's,
mode.
There's a lot of stuff in this world that's out of our control.
Hey,
we need
guys.
To learn to accept those things, but this is not one of them.
It's a good argument you're making. I don't know if I buy it.
I guess
it could be that.
I guess it's a matter of opinion.
It could be that Jesse and I are under the thrall of some spirit, and that spirit is flowing through us and making us act a little bit goofy. And
I don't think you actually got through your explanation.
Which explanation?
Explanation of what? Of what? You were
Are
like
you
to,
accusing me of being distracted again?
Yeah, because you were like to those just joining us. Dan has good reason to be like, what are we being? What are we being? We're distracted, and then it went off into a different direction.
Okay. So,
Star Trek.
Perhaps I have cleverly illustrated your point.
Yeah, often distracted,
often wrong, soon.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, Star Trek.
Hey, Star Trek.
That was a good turn 'em ups.
Well, okay. Hello.
Roundabouts.
Hello and welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
You are home. Huh?
Oh.
Oh.
It is, as it happens, it is the 259th episode.
There's not a cloud in the sky.
Of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. Mm-hmm. And we welcome you to that. So welcome.
Welcome. I feel welcome.
Oh, so Dan was fiddling with his sound-making device, and so I thought you were preparing to play a sound.
Oh, no, I was just fiddling.
That's fine.
You noticed.
Yes, I did notice. All right, yes, It's Got Star Trek, episode 259. We are, this week, discussing the Voyager episode Tattoo.
Face marking.
Yes, in this case, the tattoo in question. The tattoo in question is a face marking.
Face marking.
Yes, a Mike Tyson-esque face marking.
Face marking.
No. They don't actually say tattoo anywhere in the episode, I checked.
No, you're right. I don't think they do.
Hence,
that's weird.
Hence,
face marking.
That's the closest you get.
Now, not to be premature with our discussion, because it's not quite time for a discussion, but because you are correct, Dan, that I am in a distractible mood this evening, and if I don't bring it up now, I may forget to bring it up later. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that they didn't mention tattoo. Do you think that that was the studio saying, we don't want to say the word tattoo because tattoo is a naughty word? It seems improbable to me that that would be the case, but it also seems weird that they didn't mention the fucking word tattoo in a TV episode called Tattoo that is in part tattoo? About the origin of Chakotay's tattoo.
I can't understand.
Is tattoo a naughty word?
Are you saying that they called it tattoo, but they didn't use the word tattoo in the episode because they were trying to be like politically correct or
no,
something?
No, so what
or
you're
saying
wanna,
that they're calling it tattoo.
Are tattoos controversial because it would encourage teenagers to give themselves tattoos on their face?
So you've just provided me evidence that perhaps the studio did not say, whatever you do, don't use the word tattoo in the episode named Tattoo, because then the studio presumably would not let them name it Tattoo.
Right.
Are they calling it tattoo or are they calling it tattoo?
I'm calling it tattoo. It's an affectation. I'm doing it for the purposes of sort of engaging.
I hated every minute of it.
Engaging the ear of the audience. If you mildly aggravate the ear of the audience, it can help you hold attention better.
You are human.
Earworm.
Like those old Errol's internet commercials where they pronounced Errol's in an odd way and in a slightly aggravating way. But you remember it. To this day. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Way, day.
Errols.
You rhymed way with day. You rhymed some other words together, too, that I forgot.
I apologize. I will continue. We'll get back on track here. So,
thank you very much.
It's got Star Trek 259 Tattoo. And next up is Patreon. Go to patreon.com.
Maybe we should just leave them alone.
/ It's Got Star Trek. And what manner of glorious, wonderful things you'll find there. I cannot say. But you can go look. Go look and peruse and get free previews. And if you like, sign up. You sign up. It's not that much money.
It's my first time.
A little bit of money. It's a lot of fun stuff over there. So go check it out. Patreon.com/ItScottStar.
There's something over here I think you should see.
All right. Now, we've had no haikus, which means no... No, we know.
Well,
sorry.
No. It's the other way around.
Well, I mean, you can say either way.
We've had no reviews, and therefore, no haikus for yous.
No.
For yous.
Yes. For those who aren't aware of our current policy, our recent policy is that for every review we get on a podcast platform, you know, iTunes, Amazon, whatever, Dan will write a bespoke haiku for the person who wrote the review. This week, no new reviews. Last week, new review. This week, no new reviews. Next week,
I feel like I'm fading.
Who knows?
Fading away.
We'll see. But if you want haikus, you got to write the reviews, all right?
You have to choose.
It's very simple. All right. So no new reviews. But I did want to thank the Green Shirt Podcast for a shout out during their Shadow Play DS9 mini episode. They commented.
Shadow Play shout out.
Noted that our world famous Chief O'Brien sound clip.
Chief O'Brien?
There we go. It's a well fucking oiled machine here this evening. Mr.
Chief O'Brien.
Dan over here is Mr. Complain-em-ups.
Chief O'Brien.
When Mr. Complain-em-ups shows up, sometimes Mr. Slowfinger shows up.
I was focused elsewhere.
No, I get it. I understand. Anyway, thank you, Green Shirt. They commented on how, yes, Shadowplay, DS9 Shadowplay is where we got that Chief O'Brien sound effect.
It also
remains one of my favorite episodes of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. I don't know. I think it just is a good episode. Good. I think everyone was firing in all cylinders. Nobody was nobody was suffering from slow fingers or distract-em-alls. So
I didn't fall asleep at the end.
Yeah, Jesse stayed awake through the entire podcast, which is really rare.
Yeah.
Go check out our episode on Shadow Play. Go check out Green Shirt's episode on Shadow Play. It's a TNG podcast, and it's the one, if you're looking for a TNG podcast, go listen to the Green Shirt. But they started doing these his DS9 minisodes.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Yes. Okay, mail 'em ups. We do have one voicemail.
Ready.
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm going to click play on
my first time.
The voicemail.
Dear ultra-biased, beltway, intellectocrat, elitist hosts of It's Got Star Trek.
That's me.
This is Tug Jerkins. Oh, you might remember me. I wrote a letter into one of y'all's milestone episodes a while back. But I got a real bone to pick with you fellas. First, you condescend to us, the audience, with your spelling contest, but now you're trying to shoehorn in your blatant anti-racism agenda on your last week's episode. And you might try to gussy up your jargon with terms like slow warp, but we know you mean blue collar. Why can't you just keep the politics out of Star Trek? And do you even know Star Trek in the first place? Couple weeks back, you discussed transporter accident episodes, and you mentioned the Voyager episode Tuvix, but not the Lower Decks episode Tuvix.
Oh yeah, you know.
I guess your bias extends even to the world of animation. Yours in righteous anger, Tug Jerkins.
Well, thank you.
P.S. Dan was right about the cheesecake.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay.
See, that's about the smartest thing Mr. Jerkins. Mr. Jerkins
you're
said that whole.
Maybe he's Dr. Jerkins.
Oh, you're right. Maybe.
Paging Dr. Jerkins.
Maybe he's father. Maybe it's Father Jerkins.
Father Jerkins.
All right. We're starting to. We're starting to color this collar.
Sorry, Sky Spirits.
Increasingly nefarious ways. Oh, no. Thank you, Tug. We appreciate that, Tug.
Why are you thanking him? He talks shit about us.
Did he? I wasn't fully paying attention to the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. He's accusing us of not being of the people.
I did like the.
And he's right. I'm above all the people.
On an anti-racism tirade last week. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, all of those were many funny references to a few recent episodes. So my advice, go listen to recent episodes of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. You'll be happy. You'll enjoy it.
Caller has done you a service.
Thank you, Tug. And I think I agree with you, Dan, on the cheesecake. I forget. What were you saying? You like New York style cheesecake?
Yeah, I like the cheesecake
non-baked one.
It's dense.
Creamy.
Wait, I'm explaining. Okay. You're asking me to explain it. Let me explain it.
That's a good point. I agree with you.
I like
support your
creamy
position.
New Yorky, thick brown, yellow,
New Yorky, it's a pie, New
Yorky. Ice cream.
Yeah.
I like cheesecake that's dense, you know, not a lot of gobbledygook on it or anything. I don't need any strawberry sauce or any of that. Maybe a little whipped cream might be nice, but I can do it without it.
Yeah.
I like, kind of New York style, just like that thick, just solid, straight up cheesecake. It's a meal.
All right.
Not a healthy meal.
No, definitely not healthy.
Yeah. I don't find that I really ever need whipped cream. Maybe certain contexts.
I like a little.
I like to squirt the whipped cream in my mouth. I like to eat spoonfuls.
That always seems better to me.
I like eating spoonfuls of Cool Whip.
My mom always made fresh whipped
cream.
Yeah, you know, she would like whip cream with sugar.
Yeah, I used to get that too.
It's good.
I don't think it's too
Natalie's dad's always whipping up some whipped cream.
Whipped cream.
Wait, why are we talking about this?
You started talking about this whipped cream business.
No, because you were asking me about cheesecake.
No.
Because Tug Jerkins.
Tug.
Saying accusing us of being too good for our audience, it's totally untrue. Mr. Jerkins, go suck some gherkins.
All right,
damn dude,
Tug Jerkins, Dr. Tug Jerkins is going to go suck some gherkins. If you would like to send in a voicemail,
Tug Jerkins, go suck some rug jerkins.
You can.
Tug Jerkins, go suck some rug gherkins. Tug Jerkins, go suck some rug gherkins. That's hard for me to say. Okay. Tug Jerkins, go suck some rug gherkins.
All right. Well done. Excellent. This is all part of your pushing us to get back on topic. That was part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
In a certain sort of way. Yeah.
If any of y'all out there would like to send us a voice recording, you may either go to itsgotstartrek.com. You go to itsgotstartrek.com/ okay, here we go. You go to www.
Is something the matter with him?
It's got StarTrek.com/record. That's where you go to. You can record something there on your phone, on the website.
There's long is it?
/record. It'll let you record 90, up to 90 seconds.
90 seconds.
Or you can just send us something at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. Text, audio, whatever you like. Send us stuff in. Interact with us. Yeah. It's fun.
Maybe we should give people rewards for sending us stuff other than reviews.
You can give them a reward. I already make haikus.
Dan's got the haikus.
There could be something else.
Yeah, why don't you come up with something for yourself to do, Jesse?
Okay.
Jesse will sing you the blues.
That's some fighting words.
Yeah. Okay. So that's all the beginning stuff. That's done. So now we can talk about this crazy episode where it turns out that indigenous people's culture was given to them by white people.
Yeah.
By a bunch of white people.
Richard Fancy.
Yes, by Richard Fancy, Dick Fancy. Dick Fancy's in this episode. So we might as well get that out of the way, because Dick Fancy is...
Dick Fancy.
Richard Fancy, I should say. Is it Rick? Richard or Rick? Richard?
Richard.
Richard Fancy is the actor who plays the main wrinkly white alien guy.
Yeah.
And you may recognize him from, do you know what, Jesse? Do you reckon? Do you
Seinfeld.
Remember? Exactly. He played Elaine's boss.
Yeah.
On Seinfeld.
Chamusi.
Yes. That was him, right?
Yes, that was him. And
Her longer lasting boss.
Yes, he was around.
He made
for
it
a
sound
while.
Like some kind of shampoo, like longer lasting,
linger longer. His name was
deodorant.
Mr. Lipman.
Mr. Lipman.
Mr. Lipman. He played Elaine's boss on Seinfeld.
What's that? What?
He also played. And by the way, we'll get to the made up language and the made up Indian stuff and Native American stuff. It's wild. This is a
swazgame.
This is
a butsu.
This is a very problematic episode.
Yeah.
Most of you who have watched it probably already agreed to one degree or another. But
you may have decided not to listen to this podcast.
But, yeah.
Should I just forego all the other sounds of the language?
No. I want you to play the language. It's okay. Not offensive for you to play the language for academic purposes.
That's what I would tend
illustrating.
That's what I would tend to think, but you never know.
It's evidence.
I'm going to try to respect everyone.
Jesse said the word evidence, so you have to...
Evidence!
There we go. All right.
It's just a crazy idea.
Richard Fancy also played the Vulcan Captain Satelk in TNG's The First Duty, which Wesley... It's a Wesley.
Wait,
episode.
Now duty or duty for Patrick when he
oh,
just said.
Oh no! And now you can't play it back.
We're gonna have to do it next week then.
Okay,
next week, next duty week, or no duty well, for this. Right, mark this moment.
You pull it out. We're 17 minutes in or so. You 18 minutes.
That
in.
Could
yeah,
be a special. Let us know. Hey, audience, let us know.
Feedback at itsgotstartrek.com. Subject line: Let us know.
What did the vegetable minister say to the congregation?
Let us pray.
Damn, you right. I don't know why I said it like that. I think I was so shocked that he got it right that I started
really
just throwing weird
you
words
really
out.
That shocked that I got that one?
You really thought Jesse wasn't going to know that punchline?
I thought maybe not.
That seems like a pretty standard sort of Dan Albert's kind of joke.
Yeah, I think I might have told you that one before.
Well, before we get to the weirdness of the episode, since we talked about Richard Fancy, we should talk about the other guest star, which was Chakotay's father.
Right.
Kolopak.
Yes, Kolopak.
He was. He's like an actor, dude.
He was. Yeah.
Well, you don't fucking say.
Henry Darrow.
I was gonna get there.
He was born Enrique Tomas Delgado in New York City.
Yeah. Do you know? He played the Vulcan. He also played a Vulcan, just like Richard Fancy played a Vulcan in TNG. Henry Darrow played a Vulcan in TNG. He played Admiral Savar.
I'm sorry.
In TNG's Conspiracy.
Deuce Canada.
And I think it's wild that we haven't done Conspiracy yet. Now, we usually...
It's a conspiracy.
We go with whatever Dan's algorithm tells us to do when we're not doing new Star Trek, which, by the way, new audience out there.
When is there new
Any Star new Trek? Audience. There's new Star Trek coming up soon, Lower Decks. We always cover new Star Trek as it goes along.
Shakanahimi.
But
is there like a delay?
Shakanahimi.
What do you
Seems
mean
like they way? Would have been out already. They usually come out like more September-y.
It's the streaming era. Who knows? Shit comes out when it comes out.
De'ima su shwasa.
But yes, we haven't done Conspiracy yet because Dan's algorithm hasn't told us to do Conspiracy. But
Achamusi.
But presuming they say
Achamusi.
Presuming they say the word Conspiracy in the episode Conspiracy, maybe me saying Conspiracy a lot will cause Dan's algorithm
conspiracy,
because Dan's algorithm slurps up previous episodes and then spits out episode suggestions.
Oh, you want the head blowy up episode?
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be a fun one to do.
Like, why? We should do that.
Yeah.
One day we'll
with
do
the
that.
Worms?
Maybe a Dan's algorithm will get us
that with the worm
to conspiracy land. Yes, but anyway, Henry,
yes.
Henry Darrow was in there. He played a Vulcan, but he also was in a couple episodes of that show, Time Tracks. Did you guys watch Time Tracks?
I remember every commercial.
I watched the fuck out of some Time Tracks.
I remember every commercial of Time Tracks. I never saw a second of
Time
Tracks.
I think I've seen a little bit of that. That was interesting.
Now, it has a Star Trek connection because in addition to Henry Darrow, he was only in the first two episodes, I think. Time Tracks was created in part by a very famous Star Trek producer, Harve Bennett, who worked on the middle original TOS movies and a really, really good producer. But the premise of Time Tracks was that a cop is sent back in time to capture criminals from the future who they've traveled back in order to evade capture. So time travel is invented, and so a bunch of criminals figure out how to go back in time.
Oh, no, I don't think I've seen that.
But they all end up in different time periods. So, like, the main guy, Darian Lambert, he's a police detective whose job it is to go back.
Okay, I've heard of this.
Yeah, and so he's from 2193, and he's sent back to 1993 in order to apprehend those fugitives. Here's the other thing you might remember about it.
I don't remember anything because I never fucking saw it. I just told you that. Do you need me to repeat myself?
Okay. Well, how about we...
Kaine post.
Let's assume I'm using the royal you.
Swazjimai.
So, the other thing you might remember about it is that the Darian Lambert, the cop, he's assisted by a device called the Specified Encapsulated Limitless Memory Archive, or Selma. And Selma appears from a credit card. Selma's disguised as a MasterCard and appears as a hologram. And so it's a hologram and it's a time fugitives. That's Time Tracks.
Whoa.
Holograms?
Exactly.
Everybody should go watch that show.
There is a component of this episode God we're talking about that revolves around a goofy hologram. The Doctor. And his
holograms.
Oh yeah,
and his getting sick.
That was kind of a funny thing.
That was like the more interesting part of this episode.
Please state the nature of the medical emergency.
Yeah, it was sort of
describe the nature of your pain. Choose the word that would best describe your pain: burning, throbbing, piercing, pinching, biting, stinging, shooting, stinging, throbbing, biting, stinging, biting, stinging, biting, stinging, biting, stinging, throbbing, piercing, pinching, shooting, stinging, biting, 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 shooting, stinging, 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 biting, stinging. Stinging, biting, stinging, biting, stinging, biting, stinging.
It's a cyclone.
For real, dude.
Yes, yes. That storyline is also very interesting. Okay, so now I think we...
Let's get down to it.
We're well-oriented. As we noted earlier on, this episode is controversial and considered somewhat problematic because of this whole idea that indigenous peoples in North America, their entire culture, they were cultureless until aliens
right, that's
gave
what I
them
was
culture.
Wondering. They presented them with culture, and they're just like, here's some culture, and then the culture made them curious, and then wandered the planet, and then they said they returned the alien
white people.
I don't know what you call them. The alien. I'm just gonna call them the aliens. They apparently came back 12 generations.
The rubber people.
The
rubber tree
the
people.
Sky people. My
God. The
sky spirits from above created the first rubber people in their own image.
Oh, it was.
And led the way
people.
To a sacred land rubber where the rubber people would live for eternity. Where the rubber people would live. The rubber people. Rubber people. Rubber people. Rubber people.
Sorry, sky.
Why do you
sky spirits from above? Rubber sky spirits. And led the way to a sacred land. And led the way to a sacred land where the rubber people would live for eternity.
You know what that sounds like?
And led the way to a sacred land where the rubber people would live for eternity. Rubber people, rubber people, rubber people.
We honor the sky spirits.
Rubber people.
We honor the sky spirits.
Rubber people.
In cause and effect, when Beverly hears the murmuring. The murmuring in her. Yeah, that's what that part of that sounded like. Part of that.
Yeah, so it was the sky spirits made the rubber people. The rubber people...
This is ridiculous. I mean, it's really offensive.
I'm not clear if the aliens are the sky spirits and they made the rubber people who is the group of people on Earth that they gave culture to. Is that the rubber people? Or the sky people, the sky spirits, are they the aliens? And no, or the rubber people.
The sky.
Or are the rubber people the aliens and the sky spirits is like something even greater? Is there something higher than the aliens?
It wasn't very clear.
I gotta tell you, Dan, I'm having trouble following this. Jesse's lunching out over here.
Are the aliens the rubber people, or are the aliens the sky people? And did the sky spirits
make the rubber tree people, or the rubber people? Is there a difference between the rubber people?
Where the rubber people would live for eternity.
Is there a difference between the rubber tree people and the rubber tree people?
Where the rubber people would live for eternity.
Rubber tree people.
The ancient rubber tree people.
Sorry, sky spirits. I will never make friends with bugs.
Bugs.
Rubber people.
Yeah, so there's the rubber people, the rubber tree people. I think...
Rubber biscuit?
I want to believe that the aliens are the sky spirits. And
you
the
want to believe Allah?
Wait.
Fox Mulder.
I'm not done. I want to believe that the aliens are the sky spirits and the rubber people are the earth people.
Spirit in the sky.
But I fear that the aliens are actually the rubber people and the sky spirits is like a spirit greater than the aliens. That's what I think.
I was thinking.
But I want it to be the former, but I think it's the latter.
No, I mean, and tell me, because, forgive me.
You said no.
Look.
No what?
No, I don't. I retract the no. You had nothing to say over top of me at that moment.
So you had to say, I can't think what to say over top Dan. So I'll just say no a bunch of times.
I can think of precisely what to say, which is that I was. Forgive me.
No, I agree with you 100%.
Because I was paying attention.
No. See, I agree with you 100%.
To the various permutations that you were laying out. However, I was not necessarily absorbing them. So forgive me if you did mention this permutation. But the way I interpret it is that the rubber people are the aliens, but then they were referred to as the sky people, as the sky spirits, by the humans that got turned into rubber people.
You're making a third.
So it is a new permutation.
It's a new position that one can take.
Yes.
So either the aliens are the sky spirits and the earthlings are the rubber people, or the aliens are the rubber people and the sky spirits are something greater, it's a matter of perspective where the rubber people are the sky spirits, but only from the perspective of the earthlings.
We got a break coming up soon, so I think we might gotta make one of those grids, you know, with the clues on the columns and the rows, and you put the X's when you can rule stuff out. One of them logic puzzles.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's in order.
Something along those lines. Anyway
we still have rubber 4 minutes.
Rubber tree people.
Given that we have only 4 minutes and we are in a giddy mood, let's save the discussion about the fraudulent Indian advisor, Native American.
That's what I was going to bring up.
We're going to save that until the next break.
That's what I was going to bring up. Like I was when you started talking about like the making of that episode, I was like, wasn't that advisor guy?
you mean last week?
No, just now. I was going to do that just now.
Okay, well, that deserves a more fulsome discussion. So let's save that until the next break. So the next break, we're going to start out. I have a very small feature. I wouldn't necessarily call it a fun-em-up. Let's call it a you'll see-em-up for now. You'll see if you like it
or not.
But it'll be brief, and then we can get into a proper discussion of some of the issues in this episode in particular, surrounding the Chakotay character more generally. But before we get to that, we should talk about something more fun. In these remaining few minutes before our break. Do you have any recommendations?
I did have a question, because
Dan, you may be in a position to resolve this. At the beginning of the episode, in fact, I think it's one of the first lines, B'Elanna, they're on this planet, they're looking for some ore or something, and B'Elanna mentions something being contaminated with acetylene?
Does
she say it's commanded? Did I mishear that?
Acetylene.
I thought she said it was contaminated with acetylene. And I thought, after I heard that, I thought that doesn't make any sense.
It said, no, this is what it says. The polyphenide deposits are contaminated with acetylene.
So they're not contaminated with something called acetylene.
No.
Okay, good. I mean, that makes much more sense.
What would you do with acetylene? Probably what it sounds like.
Well, I was like, is it related to Vaseline or gasoline? Or is it a combination of Vaseline and gasoline and they just drop both the V and the G so there's no confusion? They call it acetylene.
Burn, motherfucker.
I don't know. That's a good question.
All right. Well, thank you. I mean, that was helpful, Dan, that you were able to figure that out.
But the polyphenide, that's what they use to seal warp coils, apparently.
Yeah, okay.
I felt like their Starfleet uniforms didn't look conducive with, like, trudging around on like some rocky ass hillside. For something about it seemed awkward. Like
I agree.
They should change up the gear.
It almost looked like
Voyager jumpsuit thing. Yeah. Sometimes is a little awkward.
Yeah, just it didn't look conducive to that kind of terrain. Conveyance.
A bunch of silly
navigation train being train being. It didn't match well to terrain being.
Well, you know.
Maybe they are
terrain traversing. Traversing terrain.
Traversing the terrain.
Terrain.
I mean the terrain.
Where would I stay?
Yes, indeed. Indeed, where would you stay?
Where?
We wouldn't know where to begin.
Voyager's not that big.
No, it's not.
We should talk about the Doctor.
Yeah, we will talk about the Doctor, but we're now up on a break.
Doctor.
Why don't we talk about let's do the break. Let's get down, get funky, do the break. We'll do a logic puzzle.
Are we going to do a funky break?
We're going to do a funky, funky, funky breakdown break, and then...
Jesus,
what the fuck was that?
That was way too loud. Dude.
I didn't mean for it to
be... That was the sound of a piercing... I believe it's a red hawk. A red hawk. Peculiar
there's
thing.
Nothing wrong with that sound. It was just very loud.
It was. It was more piercing than the rest.
All right. Now, I expect when we return from the break
and
start talking about the plot a little bit more that you will have another opportunity to play that sound.
All right.
But when you do, perhaps we can lower the volume or...
Just for that one sound?
Or you can warn us that you're about to play the sound.
Just turn the treble down.
I know that might negatively impact the vibe you're going for, the rhythm, the sound rhythm you're going for. But anyway, we'll figure it out. How about this? We can discuss it on the break, during the
break. We'll get back. We'll be back on track. It'll be fine.
Baby back attack on track.
Right. Stop.
All right. We will. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Put those away.
You put those.
Y'all set?
Yeah.
Okay. Hello, everyone. We are back.
Hello.
Vegeta. No, who's in it? Chakotay.
Ooh.
Chakotay.
He's saying Chakotay.
What is that?
Chakotay.
Except he's pronouncing it
differently. What sort of language is that? Is that a real language?
No.
Messing it up.
It's a made-up language.
Making it up.
It's some sort of a bizarre amalgam of nonsense and actual languages, and is one of the many culturally insensitive issues with this episode.
No, ma'am.
Now, before my little you'll see him up, I did want to comment, stemming off of Tug Jerkins' comments.
Ooh, that Jerkins. He's gonna get a Gherkins.
Because at one point
Tug
Jerkins was like, why
Tug are you... Jerkins gonna get a Gherkins to the rug. Tug Jerkins gonna get a rug Gherkins.
It's on the red.
It's a non sequitur.
Not really.
But he did mention something about making Star Trek political. We did have a comment. I posted the advertisement for this episode saying we're doing Tattoo. And there's a little, it's a lighthearted joke. A little lighthearted joke in the advertisement. It was like we're doing the episode where it turns out that indigenous people. People's culture was provided to them by white people. And then somebody on Facebook was like, why do people always have to make Star Trek so political? Thankfully, other people were like, you don't watch much Star Trek, do
you? Yeah, right.
I generally don't reply to these people, but I do read them if it's funny. Yeah. It's funny to be...
Everyone just can't wait to get their chance to like write that on a message board. Yeah. Just be like, why is this gotta be so political? Yeah. Like, why does enter like... fandom here have to be
it's like
so
Mad
political.
Libs, Mad Libs, but at one slot is the why does it have to be so political? And it's just particularly hilarious, of course, with Star Trek, which was always a very political show. Not every episode, but definitely the show. Anyway, I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so we haven't talked too much about the hologram stuff. The doctor,
holograms.
But we will soon. We'll talk about that a little later. But. Since we will eventually talk about it, I thought, hey, wouldn't it be funny to look up and see if there are any good hologram jokes? And you know what I found?
Holograms.
I found out that there are no not really any good hologram jokes.
Holograms.
There was a
really
few...
there's no hologram
jokes. It's not that there's no hologram jokes. It's that the quality of hologram jokes I find to be lacking. I'll give you an example. This was, in my view, and granted, I agree, I understand, this is a subjective area, but this is, in my view, the best of the hologram jokes I was able to find, at least just the straight up hologram jokes. I'm going to extend on this in a second, and you'll see what I'm talking about in a moment. But this joke is the best one I found. It goes like this. My partner called me a hologram. I think they're projecting.
Oh, okay. Excuse me for laughing.
So I looked up hologram jokes, didn't find many that I liked, but I did stumble across sort of a subcategory of hologram jokes, which is jokes by holographers. And holographers are scientists who study and or utilize holograms and holographic principles in both mathematical and physical theory and in creating things like special microscopes, because you can make a hologram from any wave.
Hologram.
We think of holograms made out of light waves, and that's what the doctor is. He's a hologram, presumably mostly a hologram made of light waves, but you can also make holograms in principle out of any wave.
Well,
anything,
that's tight.
Anything that's got a wave function can be holographicized.
You don't get it.
But
I don't get it.
On holowiki.org, that has a forum that is populated basically only by holography researchers.
Holography reefers.
Holography researchers.
Reefers.
And they go by the term holographers. They had a thread about holography jokes for holographers. And so I thought I'd tell just a few of their jokes.
Sure.
What do holographers use to patch a cut on their finger? What do holographers use to patch a cut on their finger?
Is it some dumb like a hollow band-aid or something?
No, it's pretty close. It's narrow band aids. Here's a one-liner. Old holographers never die. They just become incoherent. Get it? Incoherent?
Yeah. I thought you said these were terrible.
Okay. Well, maybe not. No, they're not terrible. No. The standard hologram ones were terrible. Mm. I'm not reading you any of the terrible ones. I like these. I like these holographer jokes. The hologram jokes that were about like holograms, they were not so funny. Mm. What's the difference between an automobile mechanic and a holographer? The difference between an automobile mechanic and a holographer. Well, I'll tell you, the first pulls tires rotation, the latter rotates polarization. Now, I don't know that joke entirely works because I don't know what pulls tire rotation means.
Yeah, there were too many like nouns in a row or
there's
something.
There's an extra, it's a syllable thing, I think. It's kind of really, you know, tangentially related to the haiku business. There's too many syllables. But here's the last joke. This is by far the best of them. I know that because I don't get it. So it must be... I mean, I get it, but I don't get it in the context of holography. I get it in the context of just sort of basic physics, but not specifically how this is funny in the context of holography. But here you go. Two atoms bumped into one another. The first one exclaimed...
Whoa, that was a weird blip in time that you created. I don't know how that happened.
Well, that works into this joke. Two atoms bumped into one another. The first one exclaims, "I think I lost an electron." The other atom asks, "Are you sure?" The first atom sputters, "I'm positive." Get it? Because he lost an electron.
Totally.
Electrons have a negative.
They're negative.
Negative charge. Anyway. Like I said, I get the basics of that joke, but I don't understand it in the context of holography because, alas, I cannot count myself among the noble profession called holography. So, okay, that was my piece there. Now, let's talk about this episode, the weird the weird
we were talking a bit about yeah it. I remember, like, so it's in looking at this episode, knowing with the knowledge that their
consultant
is not really,
you mean their consultant who went by the name of Jamaki Mamaki Highwater.
Yeah, that guy, Highwater.
And his real name being Jackie Marks. And rather than being of Cherokee descent, as he long claimed, he was in fact of just Eastern European
right. So ancestry. Because we know this, it definitely paints it as like this episode, we know ahead of time that this episode is condescending,
it's a bit baloney.
Condescending and bullshit, and just
we'll
like,
go through some of the very specific reasons stuff. Why we're not just going to claim
but
that.
But what if we found out that this was actually made from a legitimate source? Would you still have the same opinion that it was condescending and fucked up?
Well, that would be hard to parse out necessarily because if it was something more real, maybe, but there are other critiques of this episode beyond just the content.
Of course, the thing is if it were real, it wouldn't have been what we saw. So,
well, okay, it also can't be real in the sense that one of the greatest problems with this episode is that they have taken a trope that's used a lot in Star Trek. I mean, it's used a lot in science fiction generally. It's a common literary trope, but Star Trek uses it frequently, so frequently, in fact, that over time it's become problematic. And what I'm talking about, forgive me, audience, for keeping you on tenterhooks with regard to what I'm about to reference. What I'm talking about is Star Trek's tendency to treat alien cultures as monolithic and unitary.
Yeah, right.
In other words, all Ferengi are like this,
greediness,
and all the Klingons are like this. And
the only planet that was like had two parts in it was because what was that? What show was that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
There was a couple of shows.
It was TNG. It was attached. It was attached.
Okay, discussed recently.
Where the planet had two cultures, those two cultures were split up into different names.
Yes.
They weren't like we're all Earthlings, regardless of where we're from. But there's a wide variety of
Earthlings. Is that what we normally go by?
I'm saying to other humans, to other planets, we're Earthlings.
Terrans.
We're from Earth, but in
Americans.
But in attached,
are you an American?
In attached,
yes. They had the
okay,
two
let me fucking okay in yeah, in yeah. attached.
Okay.
Yes, they had two different cultures, but they weren't both called by the name of the planet. In fact, the name of the planet was split among the two of them.
It was interesting.
Yeah. So it was very deliberately like trying to be the reason I mentioned that is because their one divergence from that rule was still kind of forced
and artificial,
and it still was like they made a big demarcation between the different cultures.
So, and here's the thing, Star Trek itself, the franchise, has recognized that that is a problematic way to do things over time, and they have made attempts to flesh out the cultures and show a great deal more diversity in Klingon culture, Ferengi culture, etc. So it's a problem they recognize and try to fix over time. But it's also a legitimate literary tool because Star Trek is about telling stories. And so, it's like, okay, here's the aliens and they're like this. And you're setting up metaphors. Okay, that's fine. What's not fine is that to then transpose that same trope onto indigenous peoples of North and South America, because there are thousands of different groups of people who are completely diverse and varied in their culture, and they don't all know about each other because there's huge distances involved.
Right, but they had the inheritance, and that's what connected them.
That's the core offensive foundational problem with this episode, is that that's the twist.
Right, and so this whole episode, like, I felt as I was watching it, like, it wasn't leading me anywhere. I was just kind of watching stuff happen.
Right.
And it wasn't until the very end that I suddenly felt like, okay, that's what they were doing. Like, but I didn't feel like I said, I wasn't led in a direction that reached there. Stuff just happened, and then they connected it.
They were just
doing
Starfleet procedure.
They connected it at the end with this huge expo dump that was, like, just, like, they had to squish
Which is short
that
for exposition.
Plop.
Thank
it was
you.
A big old plop.
I like that. I've been noticing that recently you've been using the term expo. To shorten exposition.
Yeah.
Which is cool. It's hip.
Yeah. You know.
Boy.
It's like the emoji world we live in.
It is.
Another episode of Void.
What would the emoji for expo be?
I don't know. Like a building or something.
Dan's like, Patrick, come on.
Like
come
a middle finger.
Come on. Let's get through it. Let's get moving things along.
So... Now, I don't know if their intention was to, like, make us sort of, like, look through the eyes of Chakotay, who in the episode had no idea what the fuck was going on until the very end, but I don't know that that's what they were going for. It's just these confusing faces popped up, and then, like, Chakotay's like, hey, Janeway, did you get a lock on those faces? And she's like, what faces? And, like, and it's like, why did he assume that she even saw faces to begin with? I don't know. It was a lot of weird stuff going on. It was confusing. He ends up in this empty settlement. He starts taking his clothes off.
Yeah, it was like a weird structure that looked different than the other one, but somehow he knew that that was the same kind of structure, and then he got naked.
Right. So are we supposed to believe
the whole flashback business that we haven't even really referenced in detail? We referenced the father.
Are we supposed to believe that the reason Chakotay got led to these aliens was because of the inheritance dragged him that way? Because how did they find this?
I think it was just a coincidence.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how did they find this planet? They just so happened to find...
They were looking for that ore acetylene.
No, look. Acetylene. Look, what are the odds of them finding this planet that happened to, like, be the home of the people that created a whole culture on Earth, right?
Like, it would be nice if there was a pull, but it doesn't seem like they didn't explicitly say that.
See, so the only way I can believe that would happen is if there was his inheritance was somehow guiding him to them, but they never indicated that at any point in the episode.
That's the only way you can believe.
Like, yeah, because how else are they just going to randomly find this fucking planet that's like, you know, 70,000 light years away?
Well, so...
I mean, it's...
The thing is it's important that... Because we discuss this...
How it works sometimes.
The New Age aspect of this, because that's part of the... That's also part of what adds to what a lot of people find offensive about this. And by the way, we are all super white people. We are really well equipped to discuss this in any sort of like a really meaningful way. But there are, and I'll link in the show notes, there are some really interesting essays people have written, particularly essays by members of indigenous peoples who give their perspective on
rubber
this.
People.
They're not the rubber people.
Like, rubber people.
Not, like, they're
rubber
not people. Made up tribe.
The rubber tree people.
The ancient rubber tree people. Where the rubber people would live for eternity.
So, yeah, I'll check out the links, because there's some really great essays talking about this and why this is problematic. And one of it is because, it's sort of, it's like, oh, this is just a unitary culture that was gifted to us. You know, it's just... It homogenizes everybody in a really unfortunate way. But the other aspect of it is that...
They all have that tattoo, like that tattoo.
There's the tattoo.
Tattoo.
But what I was saying is that a critique by indigenous people who have written about this episode is that it uses these New Age tropes of sky people and
we honor the sky spirits.
And genetic memory and all this stuff, which is white people thinking they're being clever and like nice, thinking they understand native
sorry
cultures.
Sky spirits, I will never make friends with bugs.
But it's not bugs. that's like some bullshit that people made up, you know.
White people,
it's weird.
Yeah,
anyway, I'll link to some cool stuff that people can read, and it's more interesting deep dive into this topic. But we shouldn't neglect finishing our conversation about the Jackie Marx fellow, because what's particularly problematic about Voyager hiring him as a consultant is he was outed as a fraud in 1984.
Oh, wow.
And he was hired by the Voyager production team in 94, you know, that area, 93, 94. He was known to not have been an Indian at that point, but he kept getting hired in Hollywood. He defrauded PBS out of, I think, over $800,000 over multiple years, serving as a consultant and doing films and stuff, where he was just making shit up about native peoples and cultures. And not only was he making shit up, he was also taking the place of a job that actual native people could be getting paid to provide consulting advice on shows like Voyager or to PBS, etc. So that's a particularly egregious problem with Chakotay's whole character being informed by this fraud, and it taints the character deeply.
How many people can tell the difference between, like, your average like person who's not Native American? How many of them could tell the difference between like some lore that was made by an actual Native American and lore that was made by, Jackie Marks. You know what I mean?
Probably not. That's the problem.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. And so your knowledge of...
You're hiring a consultant because you don't.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah. So you're right. Yeah. So your knowledge... So you're not... Your opinion of it changes depending on your knowledge of who's providing you that information.
Yeah.
That sort of taints the whole thing. So there is not a lot of education really around in terms of...
And getting back to your earlier question, Dan, because it is an interesting question, which is, say for the sake of argument that this episode wasn't filled with a bunch of bullshit gobbledygook cobbled together from all sorts of different sources.
Gobbledygook cobbled together. Wow, that's even harder.
But well done, sir.
Thanks.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
Let's just an alternate universe where they had a real consultant and whatever he provided was actually true.
I like alternate universe.
You asked whether or not that would change the view of the episode. Now, it hinges on one important fact, which is whether or not the twist at the end with the sky spirits, like let me put it another way.
See,
if the actual real life myth of a single tribe was that their entire culture derived from sky spirits that gave them that culture,
if
that was the case, and then that's the twist, then that's fine. That's not, and if they're talking about a single culture and it's an actual mythological tale they're basing it on, and all they're saying is that the sky people were aliens as opposed to some sort of deities, right? If that's the twist, okay, fine. That's your little sci-fi twist on a thing. If, however, everything is true except for that, it's still fucked up because I really find it offensive, the idea of ascribing an entire culture to an external influence you as a person, not a part of that culture, are making up and putting it on there and thinking, isn't that a hilarious twist?
It's like the aliens built the pyramids.
Exactly.
Kind of thing.
It's really offensive. I know it's funny to see the guy with the funny hair and it's like, haha, yes, aliens built the pyramids or whatever.
Oh, that meme guy?
Yeah. But it's also really offensive to say that because it's taking away the agency and brilliance of those actual ancient peoples and how clever they were and how good at math and engineering and saying, oh, they couldn't have done it. It must have been aliens. That's fucked up. And it's also fucked up to say, hey, your culture is a result of aliens, and more so when it's white aliens. White aliens who were Elaine on Seinfeld's boss.
Richard Fancy.
When Richard Fancy is saying, like, you guys were just so stupid. You didn't have language or culture. And okay, sorry, I know I'm like...
Because I believe that ignorance is our greatest enemy.
I know I'm ranting, but the idea that they're like...
Touchy, isn't he?
They're like, oh, they didn't have culture. You don't have to have language to have culture. Yes, of course. I know language is a primary transmitter of
culture. I
don't
know, like, at what point what you define culture at that point, if you're able to say they don't have culture.
Right.
That is condescending at best.
It's
like,
dolphins have culture.
Like, culture exists everywhere.
Orcas have culture.
Right. But to say they don't, they're just these sort of mindless robots.
And then, the way it was directed, too, was it was like this white guy pointing at this cold-looking Inuit, and he's all like, the narration's all this guy was a fucking piece of shit.
Right.
But we were like, hey, he's nice to the rabbits, so like, we'll zap him with some sort of genetic engineering that's going to make him figure out how to fucking talk and tell stories and become curious. Oh, come on. I mean, it is crazy, but
their genetic gift made them curious.
You know what's even crazier? What's even crazier to me is how little this episode is in the conversation of problematic Star Trek episodes. There are plenty of people who talk about it, but it's nowhere near like Code of Honor in TNG or you know, some of those episodes where you're just like, oh, they missed the mark. But it really should be, because this is a pretty fucked up episode. And when you go and look at Memory Alpha and some other sources about like the background, man, everyone was like all about this episode. Michael Piller got this. This episode was submitted by some freelance guy. He'd done a couple things before, nothing particularly. I think he maybe did an episode of TAS maybe.
Wow.
But he submitted this idea, and the original idea was even crazier, apparently, even more offensive, more like overtly offensive. But Michael Piller said they bounced this idea around for a while. They thought it was going to be a first season episode, but it just took him forever to sort of figure out the structure. And I think it wasn't until they got the flashback thing going that they were like, okay, now we can write this. Michael Piller was not happy with how it actually turned out. He was a little disappointed with it, but a lot of the other people involved...
Because it didn't go anywhere. It was just like stuff happened and then they connected it all at the end.
The other thing that was kind of interesting that Michael Piller talks about is that he was also going through a thing where the pacing of television had changed and it was getting faster. And he thought that, you know, Star Trek Voyager had some ratings problems.
MTV.
They were like, it was successful on UPN, but the first season, you know, they realized there were some hiccups here and there. And so they were trying to figure out what to do. And one of the things they looked at, they were like, well, the pacing of TV has picked up. So we've got to match that. We've got to update how we pace these episodes. So he when he was writing this episode, he was like trying to write as many scenes as possible to like get as much info in and just like keep cutting. So it's not as fast paced as what we might be used to today in 2024. If you know that and you pay attention, you're like, oh, it is edited a little quicker. And there are like sort of more scenes, but going to what you're saying, Dan, it's more scenes of kind of nothing, because in addition to being offensive, maybe one of the more offensive things about this episode is that it's kind of boring.
Yeah.
Other than the doctor stuff, which we'll talk to next break.
Well, one, to reiterate what I've said already a few times, it's just stuff is happening. Yes. You're not being led around anywhere.
Yep, absolutely.
You're not asked to follow anything. You're just watching stuff happen. And at the end, through a bunch of exposition, right, they link it all together with this one thing. And it's all these kind of separate, disparate like bits that all connect to this one thing at the end, but not together.
Yeah.
And so it's fucked up. Right. But speaking of math, you were talking about math.
I was told
earlier.
There would be no math.
Well, there's math.
That's a very
old
Saturday Night Live joke.
Yeah. So the aliens,
SNL.
The aliens said they were 70,000 light years away from home, which is Earth. Okay, so 70,000 light years away. They said it took two generations for the aliens to reach Earth when they went back to visit in the year 2000. In the year 2000, they visited Earth.
Say 2000?
They said.
Or are you doing it like a Conan O'Brien joke?
No, I'm not. They said 12 generations ago we visited Earth, and if all our shit was fucked up. That's what they said.
So you think that's 2000?
So that's
did you
about,
do a calculation?
Yeah, if we're saying a generation is about 30 years.
So you're doing one of those the medieval monks that were trying to figure out the age of the universe by looking at the ages. So and so begat so and so begat so and so.
Well,
that's,
I mean,
that's
it's
how
all
they arrived at the 6,000 years.
It's the only information we're given. Look, what they say is
no. I think I'm
here's
I'm
the line.
Highlighting your cleverness.
Right, here's the line. Many sought refuge in other societies. 12 generations ago, when we returned, we found no sign of their existence. So yeah, that's the best.
Okay.
Yeah. So okay. So two generations for the aliens to reach Earth when they went back to visit them. If they did it in 60 years and it's 70,000 light years away, that's about. I worked out is about 700 billion miles per hour.
All right.
And light moves at a speed of over 670 million miles per hour. Mm-hmm. So that's over 700 billion over 670 million. That's over 1,000 times the speed of light. Mm. It's interesting. Warp 5 is apparently around 200 times the speed of light.
Oh.
And apparently warp 8 is just over 1,000 times the speed of light. So we can posit that the aliens were going warp 8 when they visited Earth from their planet of Aliendonia or
that's
whatever
they
it's
zipped
called.
On in.
They zipped on. They went warp 8 the whole time for 60 years.
You truly have a dizzying intellect.
No, I just like plug things into things that tell me the answer.
You mean a calculator?
Yeah, that's what's so great about math. You just tell something else to figure it out for you. You just got to get the right order of things.
I like math. Mm-hmm. And I like the math that you just did, because that's an interesting fact.
Mm-hmm.
That's a value add. You've provided a value add to the podcast.
Math,
sweet.
Mouth.
Yeah. Because most of what we're saying is not particularly insightful, you know?
You noticed.
We're new or anything like that. We hopefully say in a slightly entertaining way.
Slightly.
You know, somewhat engaging way. So any sort of value add we can provide, like I failed to do with the holography jokes, but I think you've succeeded there, Dan. I think you've succeeded quite well with your calculation.
Yeah, I didn't think the holography jokes were that bad. You think that was a failure?
Well, we'll find out. We'll check the ratings, you know, the Nielsen's.
Choose the word that would best describe your pain.
Once the podcast goes live on Monday.
Burning.
Start getting those live Nielsen.
Shooting. Throbbing. Stinging. Piercing. Biting. Stinging. Biting. Shooting. Stinging.
It's a cyclone.
Oh, man, it is a cyclone. All right, we're almost got to go to break, but I did want to mention did you guys get the impression that a lot of the young Chakotay actors' lines were ADR'd? You know, it just seemed like
there was something weird about
it was so, yeah
this delivery. So there's
stilted.
Like
sorry, Sky Spirits. I was just looking at a lizard when I saw it.
A lizard?
Maybe we should just leave them alone.
Maybe it's just his delivery.
I'm not. There are so many bugs. Sorry, sky spirits. I will never make friends with bugs. Why do your sky spirits choose a place where it rains all the time?
The rubber tree people.
I think he just had a weird delivery.
An odd cadence. Yeah.
It was, but it did sound a little like more flat up against my face than like everyone else's.
It was, you know, the way you put it earlier, Dan, about there's just like a lot of nothings happening. That actually helped me think about this episode, because with the flashbacks, it's like, yeah, it's like, okay.
Yeah, that happened. Cool.
Walking through the jungle. Oh, that's an interesting, okay, this is some father-son dynamic, pretty standard stuff here.
So we learn that Chakotay rejects his like tribal wisdom or whatever, yeah. You know? And then the dad's like, Kolpak's like, well, you're 15. It's not your place to reject the tribal wisdom. But what about Rumspringer? That's like 16.
Well, these are not Amish people, Dan.
Well, no, but I'm saying, like, I'm not limiting it just to the Amish.
Yeah, but this culture may not have a similar period of time in which the youth are encouraged to explore opportunities outside.
But
of
I'm
their
saying it's not.
Particular
but
sect.
I'm not saying it's uncommon. Like bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs happen when they're like 12 or 13. A Christian is 13, confirmed anywhere from the age of like 8 to 18. So there's usually some sort of like
a cultural marker of adulthood.
Right. So you would think that like they all seem to hang around the, like adolescence. So you would think like 15 would be good. When is he allowed to decide to reject his culture? 16? I don't know. Maybe that was it. It was like in a few months he could reject it. He was like, dude, you just wait a few months, then you can reject our culture.
When did you decide to reject your culture? How old were you?
As soon as I was able to.
I mean, I don't, that doesn't answer the question. Is that like 6 years old? Like, fuck you.
No, I like had to go to church until I was like 12 or 13. Wow, then I got confirmed. Lame. And then I found out that like I could decide to not go anymore if I wanted to. And I was like,
I don't gotta go to this shit no more.
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
I have much respect for anyone who gains something from religion. And I'm it's
infinite
not,
diversity in infinite combinations.
And
hey?
It's not my place to question any of that. But for me, it was like, goodness, I don't have to do this anymore.
I like that you're about to say thank God.
I know it was.
But you're like, wait, that is mildly inappropriate given the context. Yeah. All right. We, Jesse, Dan, and I are going to get our contexts all realigned when we take this quick break. But then when we return, we will conclude our discussion of Voyager's Tattoo. Be right back.
Keep doing that.
Let's go.
Pack it up.
A-deedly-doo.
Back it up. And we're back.
You noticed.
I was just looking at a lizard when I saw it.
A lizard.
Indeed.
You think, this is back to Chakotay for a second. Was this the first and only time they stated that he was sponsored by none other than Captain Sulu?
Yeah, and it's a little weird because I think the timing is not 100% sensible.
Funny,
because
yeah.
Captain Sulu would be... Man, I don't have the dates, but he'd be pretty.
He'd be like admiral.
Pretty old, and you'd kind of expect wouldn't he have gotten promoted to admiral or be retired? I don't know. It could be that Sulu retired at the rank of captain. Mm-hmm. Maybe. It's totally plausible. Not everyone goes on to become an admiral. Mm. What are the various ranks of admiral? It used to be commodore, but what's a commodore now?
Well, it's just like a lower rear admiral or something.
Yeah, because it's like there's like, is it two rear admirals now and then vice
now
admiral?
Now there's two rears and a vice, yeah, and then a full admiral.
Admiral. You know that one? You remember that from Star Trek II? Khan is talking to Chekhov, and Chekhov is like, Admiral Kirk did everything, and he's like, Admiral Kirk, admiral. Mm. Remember that? Mm-hmm. That's a different.
Yes,
it's a different Star Trek than the one we're talking about.
Yes.
Okay.
I knew the spirits had chosen you to be a conjurer.
All right. Anything else about the Chakotay stuff? We talked about the racist stuff, and we talked about the boring story. Sort of the offensive bits.
We talked about Richard Fancy.
We talked about So
Henry Darrow.
Oh, we were talking about the Henry flashbacks, Darrow. The Chakotay flashbacks. All
in the jungle.
All it did was like. The only time that applied to a later part of the episode was about him rejecting his culture was when they were talking about the other ship going to warp, and he was, what was it? What was that line? Okay, here it is. Ooh, they found the leftover settlement with nobody in it, and he didn't know where they went or whatever. So so Kim like says, like, you'd think with warp technology they would have encountered other alien life before now. And Chakotay says, you'd think with warp technology they wouldn't be living like this. So that's the only line that relates that relates to the flashback, because the flashback is when he was all criticizing, you know, like,
why do your sky spirits choose a place where it rains all the time?
So they were showing how he was like really you know, petulant over his spirituality, but it didn't apply to anywhere in the episode except to that one line. Mm-hmm. Or unless they were supposed to contribute to his tone of his character in that episode or something, but I didn't feel it was very successful in that.
And as a quick sidebar, one of the essays I was reading by an indigenous PhD student out of Arizona State University, he was complaining that one of his aggravations with the episode is making basic mistakes, like the fact that, at least according to this researcher, most cultures that live in the jungle, their spirits are related to forest creatures. Mm-hmm. They don't have sky spirits because they don't actually, there's not a lot of interaction with the sky in the same way. Right. You know, they interact with the forest canopy.
Hawk noise! Like
Thank you. See, that worked out. Yeah. That worked out for everybody.
You're still like, it's not as bad, but it still sucks.
I was very startled by you screaming hawk noise.
What?
I was like, what are you talking about? Oh, no.
Talking about forest, forest, they don't have sky spirits in the forest.
But it's not, not the main.
Yeah.
It's the, not,
right. Right. You're going to have tree spirits.
Exactly. It shows
animal spirits.
A neglect to actually trying to engage with the various cultures that you're trying to depict by just sort of picking and choosing from sort of generic new age pantheon of whatever.
Right. This is that one line I was referring to earlier. Chakotay says to Janeway, he says, have you had any unusual readings that might explain the images of a strange face I've been seeing? And Janeway's just like, images?
I just said, what the fuck are you talking about?
Like,
you're
he
listening.
Asked her as if like she had seen them too. Yeah. Like,
right. Have you been watching this episode too?
Yeah. Anyway. But you know, Chakotay prefers a nice, cool, air-conditioned shuttle to like some kind of like settlement out under the stars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not by the end of the episode where he could start hearing the hawk.
All right.
After he got naked.
Yeah. Hawk noise!
Oh my God. Did you like the part where Chakotay's body double got naked?
Yeah, it was a body double, wasn't it? That was disappointing.
Very
but
disappointing.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
But the,
come
yeah,
on,
we saw,
Bobby
also,
Beltran!
Is this the only episode we see butt? Like, we don't see crack.
No, you see there's some crack in
no, you see yeah. You see the top of crack, which isn't the same as crack.
You see front crack.
You see like a little crack cleavage, but yeah. You don't see crack.
Front crack.
Front crack. Where do you see front crack?
Well, you know, on the boobs. The boobs.
That's the producer's color. That's something boobs. Different.
It's a stature. Give
you're allowed to show that in church. But, like, that's not like.
But the boobs, the boys like the boobs.
You can
and
show
some of the girls like the boobs too.
You can
out.
Show your boobs in church, but you can't show your butt in church.
Wait, you mean your butt crack can't be out in church?
Yeah, but your boob crack can.
Dan, wouldn't you say that somebody whose butt crack is hanging out may be the one most in need of some churching up?
Yeah, it's a good argument, but
I mean, it's an argument. Let's leave it at that, okay? Oh, we don't need to fluff things up this late in the episode.
Fluffer.
Hardly knew her.
There was this one time Chakotay repeated the same three lines
one
twice.
Time in band camp.
It was once before this flashback or whatever, and then he said it again after, I think it was like a flashback or all something. Right. He said,
you have nothing to fear from me. Talk to me. Let me see you.
And then afterwards he said,
you have nothing to fear from me. Talk to me. Let me see you.
It almost feels like they sped it up. Like, listen.
You have nothing to fear from me.
You have nothing to fear from me.
Talk to me.
Talk to me.
Let me see you.
Let me see you.
It's just a little bit, each one, the second time he says it.
Or it could just be
a little higher.
Different line reading.
I think they sped it up. They were like, we don't have time to record this line, but we don't want it to sound the same, so let's just speed it up a little. I bet that's what I'm calling them out.
You're calling them out. All right. All right. That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse, Dan's called those motherfuckers out.
Yeah.
I heard it.
I don't know who they are.
But
they've been called out by Dan.
Please state the nature of the medical emergency.
I don't know. I feel like we've seen some other butt in Star Trek, but it's not immediately coming to mind. Maybe a little cheeky Boimler.
Cheeky butt.
Cheeky Boimler butt.
Some
okay,
kind of
but well, Lower Decks doesn't count because they have a weird orgy scene in Lower Decks.
Lower Decks counts.
It does not count
It does count.
It's a cartoon. Cartoons don't count
come
for
on.
Like
still counts.
For nudity,
it's canon.
No. Not for nudity.
Yes.
Okay, we've talked. Okay,
canon nudity.
Do we want to talk about
Enterprise? Might have some butt crack.
does not. It has close to butt
crack. Let's go watch all of Enterprise.
Okay.
And
tell
see.
Me if you don't see any butt crack.
Okay. Or we can look it up on the old intranet.
Or wait a few years for AI to figure it out for us.
Yeah, probably not going to be a few years.
Yeah, probably not. Okay, well, there's this whole B-plot, and sometimes B-plots have sort of a similar thematic commonality with the A-plot, but this one didn't seem to have any kind of thing.
It did not.
And please state the nature of the medical emergency.
Why is it always got to be an emergency? Like, can't it just be like a, please state
the
nature of
emergency
your...
hologram.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, but like, oh, you know what? And they even said, Kes even was like, I thought you weren't going to say that anymore.
Because he's called, put it back on.
Yeah, because he's not used for...
socially awkward.
He's not just for emergencies. The EMH is not just for emergencies anymore. Yeah.
He's the RMH, the regular medical hologram. Yeah,
right.
Regular old normal shit. You know, you got an upset tummy, you got digestive problems, you've developed some sort of odd infection on your toe. all these things and more can be healed by the medical holographic doctor. Okay. Thank you very much.
Wow, no.
We all appreciate it on behalf of Jesse and the audience. We very much appreciate that. Thank you. Okay. So, this idea...
I don't require any compassion.
For the doctor, this idea for the doctor to get sick was actually Robert Picardo's idea.
Mm.
He just thought it would be funny for the doctor to get sick, and he thought originally maybe it was something done to him or whatever. So yes, this was some sort of an idea that was floating around, and I guess they needed a B plot to flesh out the rest of this boring episode. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, okay, here's a good time to do the doctor's doctor catches the flu. The Lavodian flu?
Lavodian 29-hour flu.
And they did a very clever thing at the beginning of the episode is to present us with a scenario to remind us of the lack of empathy that the doctor shows at this stage in his evolution.
Well, it's
early in the second season.
Well, it's funny. At first, like, the plan was that he would get sick, and Kes was like, you should get sick to figure it out, because she thought it would give him empathy. But it did the other thing that people do instead, where they're just like, I'm dealing with it. You should deal with it too.
At least at first.
At first.
Neither do I. And you don't hear me complaining.
And but when it switched over was when Kes, which I think this is some form of assault that she performed, like mentally and mental
That's
and physical
an interesting,
assault.
Interesting angle.
Because like she got him sick. Like she made him sick. He thought he was only going to be sick for 29 hours. And in her mind, she was like, well, now you know that what it's like for humans, because we don't know when it's going to be over. Yeah. But it's not the same, because the doctor thought it was going to be for 29 hours. And just, I bet you, if you thought you were going to be sick for 29 hours, and then you were suddenly sick for 30 hours, you would start worrying. Mm-hmm. If you're just sick and you don't know when it's going to be over, but you know it's going to be over, you're just going to be like, it'll be over, who cares? But like, if you think it's supposed to end at a certain time and it doesn't end at that time, that is an example of when bad information is better or worse. I'm sorry, let me repeat. Bad information is worse than no information. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like he thought he was going to be better, but like he's not. So I would think, he had every right to be fucking worried about fucking...
Sorry, sky spirits. I will never make friends with bugs.
With that.
Yeah, I know.
Right? That really was an exclamation on my point
That illustrated your point very well. Your point is very, very eloquently stated. And
but you get
quite,
my meaning.
Quite excellently, quite exquisitely punctuated there with that sound clip.
My simulated virus is leading me to a simulated death.
Of course, that's the joke is that,
he's
he
was dramatic.
He was the most dramatic of all of them. But
which is a common go-to with
but,
the doctor.
But yeah, I think
good fun.
The big reveal that she had been doing it the whole time was kind of funny, because it wasn't like a reveal. She was just like, oh, he'll be
just
better.
She's casually.
It was just kind of funny. But yeah, that's why I think her shit was assault. It wasn't cool. You can't do that shit to people.
There's an argument to be made for that. I mean,
are holograms supposed to sneeze?
Well, that's really loud, isn't it?
That's assault.
That sounds funny.
Well, you know. Okay. What was I saying? Something about
next time I start sneezing.
Oh, yeah, the assault. I hadn't considered that. Now I feel a little guilty because I thought it was cute and charming, but it was sort of in a sitcom way.
Yeah, I mean,
Kes was often utilized in a sitcom way. Do you think, better or for worse?
At one point, he sneezed on Neelix, and Neelix was like, "Eh." Like, do you think he got hollow spittle on him? How how far can a holographic emitter shoot hollow spittle before it dissolves into nothing?
Shooting ropes.
Does it feel like normal spittle?
I don't know.
Talk to me.
I would presume yes, because why not? For the sake of veracity, verite. Mm-hmm. I had a similar question about the holographic towel. Because that didn't make any sense. It was like, why are you giving him a holographic towel? What the fuck are you talking about, Kes? Yeah. You give him a holographic towel. Patients. Why would you do? Why just give him a regular towel? He's a solid hologram.
I know.
Like, does a holographic towel have holographic coldness?
Here's a cool holographic towel for your forehead.
Cool one.
Cool.
Hey, you notice at the end of this, the sound cuts off. Right at the end of her word, I think they fuck up the transition. Listen to the last like half second.
Here's a cool holographic towel for your forehead.
Forehead. After she says forehead, at the end of forehead, it cuts off.
Here's a cool holographic towel for your forehead.
Yeah, it does sound like that.
It does cut off.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, yeah, that was part of the gag, though. That's what was making it cuter. Is
you're
that
good
she,
at aural observation.
Aural observations.
I don't know if observation, I mean, I guess technically you can use observation in this instance, because it's aural is pertaining to or utilizing the ear, the auditory canal. Mm-hmm. And observation, I guess, you're making an observation.
Interesting sensation, blowing one's nose.
Yes, indeed.
You're very lucky this bird didn't snatch your eye right out of the socket.
Well, okay.
We have no spare Talaxian eyeballs.
Yes, the Talaxian.
Now, was that a joke? But you're talking about hollow towel. Like, was he seriously being like, well, the doctor wasn't cracking a joke, was he? Because can the doctor crack jokes?
Well,
like this?
Okay. Yeah, it can be a joke at the meta level.
Well, yeah, the meta level, of course, it's a joke. Yeah.
But I don't know if the doctor was making it.
In canon. Is that
joke? I mean, it's true that they don't have, I do presume they don't have any spare Talaxian.
But that would imply that it would be not unreasonable to have them hold those every once in a while. Just eyeballs laying around.
Just a sack of eyeballs.
Yeah.
Because Phlox would have a sack of eyeballs.
Yeah. He would have some kind of like lizard eyeballs that he would like feed to his other lizard eyeballs.
Not necessarily.
He'd have a lizard with eyeballs, and those eyeballs would eat the other eyeballs.
Something along those lines, for sure. It's funny because we brought up a hawk attack, and you didn't play the terrible hawk sound.
No.
Which sound?
He tricked us that time.
Yeah.
The bird.
That was a fucked up scene where the bird's like scratching at his eye. That was really violent. It
He's
was like
rolling on the floor.
Right.
Oh, and apparently there's a hawk.
The bird caused
all sorts of trouble in filming because it was a trained hawk with a hawk trainer and all that other business.
Hawk trainer.
And they were a hawk doing, but there was a trainer.
He's Cliff Hawk Stable.
But they get to
Chamusi.
They're out and about. And they're getting all set up and they're ready to shoot. And then they're like all like, all right, hawk, go do your business. You're trained business. And then the hawk saw a crow and chased after it, and they took him 4.5 hours to fucking recover the hawk and continue filming. It was a Jesus fucking Christ.
Wow, hawk, does that really surprise you that much every time?
A little bit.
Hawk was a mock.
A hawk a mock. Yes, but anyway, the hawk was some crazy business, and I guess that's part of why it was, I don't know, it ended up being sort of comical, and it wasn't, I don't think it was intended to be comical, where we didn't see the hawk attack, we just hear from a distance, Menelik's all like, oh, my face, my eyes have gone crazy with the hawk is trying to bite my eyes out, oh my god. A very expository off-screen attack, and then the camera comes around the corner, and Menelik's is all like, my eyes. It was a little weird.
Fuck that guy.
Mm-hmm. Jesse is not a fan.
This is a little off topic. When I started thinking about when Chakotay was talking to the aliens and they put a translator in his hand, a little triangle translator in his hand, because he couldn't understand them otherwise. Mm-hmm. I would assert that if their universal translators could translate anything in the Delta Quadrant, it would be specifically those aliens more than anyone else.
Right.
Because didn't that, those aliens come to Earth and bestow their culture and language on these people? So wouldn't there be remnants of their language in Earth culture? So shouldn't their universal translators be able to recognize that language?
You would think.
Yeah. I mean, if they can recognize a language that they've never approached in their life, which is most of the languages in the Delta Quadrant, why can they not translate the language that has apparently been since on Earth for like a zillion generations? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
I know what he was saying.
He says they put a little translator in his hand for some reason, and then he could understand him. Did you remember that translator they put in his hand?
Yeah. Yeah, no, we do.
It was bullshit.
I think Jesse and I are in full agreement.
I totally
do. I don't think Patrick actually knows what I said.
No, I know exactly what you said.
I won't push
agreement.
It.
No, you're talking about
I won't push it.
No, you... Okay, now... We're going to, unfortunately, we're in a situation where we do have to now bore our audience the next minute or so, because I have to repeat the fact that what you said was that because they are speaking some sort of native language that Chakotay's father knew, it should be easier for the universal translators to interpret that as compared to what would presumably be a more distant, less related Delta Quadrant language from, say, the Kes people, where they call themselves the Pookty Wookties.
Yeah. Yeah, what are those guys called?
The Okampa.
Okampa.
The Pookty Wookties was close.
Or like, what are those?
I knew the spirits have chosen you to be a contrary.
Delta Quadrant gross faces.
Young Chakotay. I wrote young Chakotay is a never nude, but now you're making me think, no, he just didn't want to be like assaulted by these.
Yeah,
like,
there was three
people.
Women surrounding him, like tearing his clothes off, and he's like, no, I'm cool.
And here's another example.
Wait, that's what he said.
This is built-in embedded patriarchy and misogyny, because you were referring to what Kes did to the doctor as a form of assault quite convincingly, and meanwhile in my notes, my note here says, Kes is so sneaky. Good for you, Kes.
So interesting comparison.
And right below that is young Chakotay is a never nude. Because I was like, whoa, why didn't he want to take his clothes off?
If you have no spirits to guide you, I fear you will lose your way.
Another thing that threw me off a little bit is they kept referring to the Inheritors. They referred to, wasn't that?
Are those the rubber people?
Well, I think so. But the thing
they're
is,
not the sky spirits.
But,
we know they're not the sky
but
spirits.
They be,
or are they?
Wouldn't they be the inheritees?
Oh,
is that a
man.
Word? Inheritees?
I don't know.
Inheritor?
I couldn't answer.
Like, if
that.
I inherit something, am I the inheritor? Or am I the inheritee? Or is the inheritor the person who passes along the inheritable asset? I don't know. I might be overcomplicating or just fabricating.
You said Andor.
That's an entirely different franchise, Dan. Come on.
I was getting a little grossed out by the doctor's noises throughout
yeah.
the episode.
He was doing a good job. He was doing a good job.
Like, he did, because he was all breathy. He was like...
Did you like the lightning cave?
Yeah, that reminded...
Chakotay's lightning cave?
Oh, yeah. That actually reminded me of the final level in this Ghostbusters game I had on my Apple II Plus. I think there's also one on the Nintendo Entertainment System. I think there's various versions of this particular game, but the last level has you try to run through the door while the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man is jumping up and down, and you have to walk through him while he's in the air. It's really lo-fi, and it's like, the graphics are all, like, old. But, like, you have to time it just right, and his jumps aren't timing... like evenly. That scene reminded me of that part of that game, because he had to run through the lightning and it was like you had to catch the pattern and then jump through. Now I know that's a trope that often happens in lots of movies and television, like Indiana Jones did that, but for some reason the way this was presented, it was like he had to get through this one pixel. He had
it
to get
was,
through this
it
one
was,
pixel
it
of spot.
It was oddly staged.
Yeah.
Because it was a very direct look at this cave, a very man-made looking cave, which may have been
fake ass lightning.
This goofy ass lightning that was two-dimensional and like only
there's
one
there's not a cloud in the sky.
Only one two-dimensional plane, and then it wasn't clear if Chakotay was dodging the lightning.
I think
or,
he was going,
or if he was impervious to it, because
was,
it was he knew it was like an illusion.
No, he was watching the
timing it.
He was watching the pattern, and then when it went away for a sec, he went in between bolts.
Basically
what happened.
It was unclear to me.
And he just had to pass one tiny little threshold.
Now Dan,
now to the pattern.
I noticed
they said inertial dampers.
No, I didn't think about that. But they did have a countdown, and I wanted to know if you had timed out using your math.
Oh, the 20 minutes. No, that one was no,
because there was a whole like 10 seconds, 20 seconds. You know, yeah. When they were like going down, like I was curious if
you're right.
Like when they're trying to land the ship and then they abort the landing because they're all like 30 seconds. 10 seconds.
I think I was
15 seconds.
I think I was so busy looking.
17 seconds.
I think I was so busy looking for the
9 seconds.
I think I was so busy looking for the title in the episode that I forgot. I'm surprised at myself because when they start saying when she had 20, she needed 20 minutes, but they only had 10, that jumped around too much the time. But you're right. That last one you mentioned, I should have been on that. I fucked up.
Man, you're fucking up a lot.
So, right? We learned that inertial dampers, they don't just affect the condition of those inside the starship. They affect the movement of the starship itself. We know this. We know this because Paris said something to that effect.
What did he say, Dan? Is this how I'm supposed to set you up?
While you search for it? Harry Kim goes...
Alt F.
Harry Kim goes, could we go to low warp under these conditions? And then Paris says, the ship might make it without inertial dampers, but we'd all just be stains on the back wall. First of all, why even suggest
it? That has nothing to do with the travel.
Wouldn't he just know already?
No, that's not... that. You need the inertial dampers or dampeners.
He said they might make it without the inertial dampers.
Yeah, yeah.
Which implies in order to make it, they would have to turn the dampers off. But the downside of that is you go squish.
Yes, exactly. But it's because you don't need inertial dampeners for the in order to travel at warp. It's that if you don't have it, there's nothing preventing you from being turned to paste because of the acceleration. That's what it's saying. When you accelerate to warp.
No, he specifically says the ship might make it without inertial dampers.
Yes, right. The ship can survive.
Yes,
it.
I know, but that's what
the people can't.
But that's my whole point. And my whole point is that that must mean that inertial dampers affect how ships move, whether they're on or off. When you turn inertial dampers off, the ship is more mobile. That's what he's saying in that line.
No, I disagree. I think he's just referring to the fact that a human can't survive.
No, okay, look, that part, I guess that part is obvious. That's a separate, I'm making an entirely different point.
All right.
How could the ship make it, how would turning off inertial dampers help the ship make it out?
I thought they were having energy problems. Wasn't that the issue, that they were having some like energy problems? They were trying to save energy. I don't know. I don't remember. Like,
oh, is that it?
I'm not well equipped to argue these points because I don't really remember this part.
Okay, no. You might be right, actually. It just sort of washed over my brain. It might be if they turn off inertial dampers, they get more power. That's the only thing that would make sense to me. That could be it.
Yeah. I don't know.
They should have turned off life support. They're always doing that.
Yeah, no, they could have. Yeah, because the air lasts for a little while.
A couple quick things here.
Now, get me somebody who can tweak the computer and make me feel better. Immediately. Get me somebody who can tweak the computer and make me feel better.
Doesn't that sound like... He sounds like a fucking Muppet.
Yeah, dude.
Get me somebody who can tweak the computer and make me feel better.
Can tweak the computer and make. You advertise this as a couple more things. So what's the second duty or no duty? Second of the things.
Three duty or no duties.
Oh, okay, all right.
Duty number one.
All right.
Or no duty.
Okay.
Perhaps a day of rest off duty.
Duty.
Off duty.
Duty.
I say duty.
It's agreed. Duty. Duty or no duty, number
duties,
two.
The duties have it.
Duties have it.
Thus, I will gain the experience that you suggest would be beneficial to the performance of my duties.
I lean more towards no duty.
Let's play it one more time.
My duties.
I mean,
my
duties. You know, it's hard to say. It's like right on the line.
Yeah, what did you say, Jesse?
It's like that dress business.
My duties.
I say no duty.
I say duty. So we have a tie because I say duty. Jesse says no duty. Patrick,
I say no duty.
The game is not duty or no duty or maybe duty. It's duty or
maybe
no duty.
Duty.
So what do you say? You say no duty?
I think I lean towards no duty.
Okay, yeah. I say duty, but right, okay.
Third
and final.
I intend to serve as an example of how one's life and duties do not have to be disrupted by simple illness. Duties do not have to be disrupted. Duties do not have to be disrupted.
That's good. Yeah, duties. It's no duty. No duty.
Jesse?
To me, it's no duty.
Yeah, no duty.
I'm a little.
You just
bit
agree
more
with what Patrick said.
No, he no. said it first last time.
I think all three are duties, but you guys think
I'm
only one
listening.
Of them are duties.
I'm listening to what I'm hearing.
All right.
Tweet the computer. Tweet the computer. Tweet the computer. Tweet the computer.
Well done, thank you, Dan. All right, I think that's enough for that goofy episode, controversial, problematic, and Kind of boring.
Although
the Dr. Bits. The Dr. Bits were
And
fun.
What makes it even worse is that scene of a Voyager going down that cyclone.
It's a cyclone.
When it's that part, that would make for a fantastic trailer to that episode. Mm-hmm. Like, you could watch that and be like, what the fuck's happening? The Voyager! It would make it seem like an awesome episode if they used that as a trailer.
But then it wasn't awesome.
It wasn't awesome.
It was not a particularly awesome episode. But we will talk about awesome episodes in the future, possibly next week. In fact, we know what we're going to be talking about next week because last week, Dan's podcast topic selection algorithm spit out two episodes and we wanted to do both of them. We couldn't decide which.
Yeah, I know.
Tattoo was one of them, Tattoo. And the other one was What Are Little Girls Made Of? Mm-hmm. AKA Penis Rock.
Oh,
Penis Rock.
We forgot to mention Ensign Wildman.
Oh, yeah. Ensign Wildman. Yeah.
With Naomi.
Yeah,
Why are you yelling?
You remember Naomi?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why you're so excited about this.
Stop shouting.
Naomi Wildman was on many episodes of...
Naomi!
Okay, all right.
Naomi! Episode where they went to the Once Upon a Time episode?
Yeah.
Okay. We were talking about my algorithm.
Yes, your algorithm spit out two names, and the second one, which we will be discussing next week, is TOS's What Are Little Girls Made Of? AKA Penis Rock. All right. So watch that show and then listen to our conversation next week. And in the intervening time, if you'd like to send us an email and with a question about that show or comment or anything, whatever, a missive, send it to feedback@itsgotstartrek.com or find us on social media @itsgotstartrek at most of the social media places.
No, ma'am.
Interact with us there. Again, you can go to our website, www.itsgotstartrek.com.
Generally, no.
All sorts of stuff to do there, including you can sort by series. So if you just hear our discussion of Voyager, for example, just click on the Voyager menu item and it'll filter us down to only our episodes about Voyager.
I don't feel so good.
Yeah. Facebook, YouTube, all that other good stuff. Reviews for haikus. No, haikus were for reviews.
But I have accepted your challenge.
Write us a review. That'd be great. And it's helpful to us. And
yes, yes.
And then we'll give you a haiku. Unless you don't want one, tell us in the review that you don't want a haiku, and then we won't give that.
You have to include your address so we can come and kick your ass. Okay.
Jesse's been getting increasingly aggressive.
I knew the spirits have chosen you to be a contra.
Be a what?
If you have no spirits to guide you, I fear you will lose your way.
A contrary.
Okay.
Okay. What are the rules made up? That'll be what we'll talk about next week. Until then,
I don't know the ancient language of my people.
Have a good one. Goodbye.
You may both leave now.
We honor the sky spirits.
Indeed we do.
Rubber people.
What seems to be the problem?
Oh, my simulated virus is leading me to a simulated death.
It's nothing to worry about. I just added a couple of hours to his computer program. He'll be fine in about 45 minutes. Knowing when it would end didn't exactly make it a fair test, did it, Doctor?
She is far more devious than I ever suspected.